Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Amen. Amen. Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
Are you able to hear me if I stand here, or would you prefer that I go up to the microphone? Please be honest.
Right there.
Right there's good? Okay. And I'm just recording this because I don't write my sermons, so if you end up wanting to hear this again, I can make it available to you. How many of you have read A Man Called Uwe, the Frederick Bachman book that's been so popular? Well, good. I'm glad not all of you have, because now I can share a little bit of this incredibly charming and poignant book. I actually was finishing it up on the beach yesterday, and we ended up having our own little book group right there on the beach with folks who had either seen the movie or read the book, because it seems to be striking a chord in our culture, in people who connect with this odd character, Uwe, a Swedish man who is a curmudgeon in every sense of the word. In the first few chapters of the book, he's actually so unpleasant that you wonder why you're embarking on this journey with him. But as the narrative unfolds, and as you get to learn more about Uwe's childhood, his young adulthood, his early life when he meets his wife, his married life, what happens to them, the complexity and the depth of this man is so incredibly beautiful. He has experienced some of the greatest hardships in his life, which I won't tell you what they are, so you can enjoy reading them on your own. And his response to those hardships is almost always to isolate himself. I think that's something, a behavior pattern that many of us can relate to. When something difficult happens to us, or we do something in our lives that we are ashamed of or embarrassed of, we can pull back and isolate ourselves, feeling that the safest and the best place to be is alone. This is very much the behavior pattern that we see in the Genesis lesson this morning with Jacob. You may remember that the name Jacob means schemer. So when you come into the world and you're given a name that is about emotional manipulation and scheming, you can only imagine that Jacob's life might unfold in some complicated ways. Where we meet Jacob this morning is he has stolen the birthright and the blessing from his brother Esau, and is fleeing from the wrath and the hatred of his brother. He has gone off into the wilderness, and at sunset, in a time of darkness in the wilderness, when he is all alone, he takes a rock for his pillow and lies down to sleep. Again, so many of us have those kinds of experiences where we flee from a difficult situation, and we punish ourselves with rock pillows because we don't know how to respond to whatever it might be that's swirling in our lives. The gorgeous thing about the story with Jacob is that it is in the wilderness, in the darkness, on a rock pillow, that God comes to him and sends the angels of the Lord to go up and down Jacob's ladder, carrying up to heaven the fears, the worries, the shame, the frustration, whatever the difficulties were that Jacob was feeling, and to bear down the ladder the blessing and the peace and the comfort of God. And as the angels ascended and descended throughout the night, Jacob is finally released from the solitariness of his self-imposed exile, and he meets God, who says to him so clearly, I have always been with you, I am with you, and I will be with you, no matter what it is that you face. In an interesting way, Uva experiences the same kind of release from the solitariness of his exile. The angels that come to him are a new family that moves into the neighborhood with a woman, a pregnant wife, and two small children. It comes to him in the form of a young teenager. So all of the feelings of despair and loneliness and the sense that life is not worth living is borne away from Uva, and a sense of caring and purpose and love comes back into his life through the angels of the people who risk befriending this incredibly odd, curmudgeonly man. For all of us, whether you are currently feeling a time of loneliness, of solitariness, of exile, whether it is because of worries and frustrations in your life, broken relationships in some way, worries about your own health, the health of your loved one, questions about what the future might bring if you have big changes in the offing. When we find ourselves in those difficult times in our lives, simply bringing to mind this image of angels traveling down and up, can soften our hearts just enough to receive the presence of God in our lives. When Jacob wakes up and remembers that experience and the awesomeness of God's presence with him in the desert at night with a rock pillow, he pours oil on that pillow and anoints it and names it Bethel, the house of God. Not a grand temple, not one of the sacred and holy places of the Hebrew people, but a rock in the middle of the wilderness. We too can experience the house of God in the depths of the darkest times in our lives. We too can receive God's comfort, God's sense of blessing and peace, even in the middle of the scariest things that we might face. If you find yourself there now or any time in the future, I invite you to sit in meditation with this passage and simply allow these beautiful images of a rock pillow that is the house of God and angels that are swarming to bless and to relieve you from your burdens, to come into your hearts and your minds and give you the very sure knowledge of how beloved you are of God. And above all, please hear God's message to you. I have always been with you. I am with you now. And I will be with you forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.